N1, this is N2, and I'll be with the shortwave at scanner listeners net. We're going to stand by for any emergency or priority traffic before we continue with the net this evening. Okay, good evening everyone, this is N2NLP, the name is Charles in Staten Island in New York City. I'd like to welcome you all to the weekly shortwave and scanner listeners net that's heard every week on the N2ROW linked repeater system, Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. The purpose of this net is to provide a general discussion forum for those who are interested in the different aspects of the radio monitoring hobby. We cover all the frequencies that you can tune into from DC all the way up to light and everything else in between, except for amateur radio. And that's because we can talk about what's going on at other times. So on this net, we're going to talk about what you can tune into, who you're going to be able to hear, what frequencies, what equipment to use, anything to help the hobby be a little bit more enjoyable for you. www.n2row.net. Please pick the repeater that is closest to you to ensure that you have the best possible chance of getting into the system. Also, because it is a linked repeater system, you should pause for a second or two after you key up to make sure that all the repeaters are settled so that you don't cuddle up the beginning part of your transmission. As you're checking in tonight, please give us your call sign, name and location, and please indicate if you have any traffic for the net. And by traffic, we mean any comments or questions that you want to share with everyone else. If you don't have any traffic, you say the words no traffic after checking in. This way we know to move on to the next person. If you're not able to get into the repeaters for whatever reason, technical difficulties, you're too far away from the repeaters, you may not even have your amateur radio license yet, but you can still participate by sending an email. And the email address for this net is nycxa@yahoo.com. So at this point, we'll stand by for check-in. Please space it out. This way we get everybody checked in without stepping on each other. This is that's what I'll be.
K2 GLW Gordon in Manhattan, no traffic.
This is Jim GIK Johnson over here. One point in Jersey, no traffic. Good evening.
This is N1MLZ Bob in Milford, Connecticut, with traffic.
Some interesting traffic popping up as far as from the station. You know, every time there's a news event that's going on somewhere in the world, like the recent coup in Madagascar, all the different stations had something to say about it, especially if it was one of the shortwave broadcasters that has a relay station on Madagascar. And last weekend, Radio Netherlands made sure to put out the notification that that their relay station was still in operation despite what everyone was hearing upstairs. So whenever there's a world event going on, that's the time to start tuning around all the different shortwave channels and get the various points of view of the different broadcasters and the countries that they represent. Sometimes the official word sounds a little strange and stilted. But sometimes you can glean a little bit of information from it. For example, during the late 1970s and the early 80s, when we were at the height of the Cold War, it was interesting to listen to various broadcasters around the world on either side of the Iron Curtain and listen to the same topics being spoken about, but of course with the obvious slant of whoever was doing the broadcasting. And what they thing I learned early on was listen to all of them. Your side, their side, no side, whatever. And after you've stripped away all of the propaganda, what was left standing in the middle was the truth that was common to all of their broadcasts. And this way you can really glean what is going on out there without having to listen to all the fluff. So I like to say, less fluff, more stuff. And I think if you take that point of view when you're listening to various broadcasts, you'll understand what I'm talking about.
I'm hearing you, Charlie. It's coming through with a lot of noise, and I've shifted to some of the different repeaters. Could you repeat that?
A little fuzz on the system, and I'm listening myself come to a different repeater. I was asking if you can provide your viewpoint as far as media broadcasting was concerned during the Cold War, especially during the 70s and 80s. That's the kind of background that you had. You know, I was talking about shortwave broadcasting, how to glean the truth from all the different forms of propaganda out there. So just wanted to have you weigh in on that.
Close to it, really a lot earlier than my journalism days. I was a young army officer in Germany in the middle 1950s and got myself a big Grundig radio and would sit up half the night listening to all of the Iron Curtain stations, Radio Moscow. I remember hearing one broadcast from Radio Moscow just before the 1956 Winter Olympics, exclusive how the United States was going to field a team made up of the Detroit Red Wings, who were then the Stanley Cup champions. They weren't going to be amateurs. They were going to be these professionals, and we were bringing in ringers. And that was absolutely fascinating. I have to say that my big shortwave periods were in the 1950s and then again in the 70s and 80s when I had a house and I could run a 200-foot dipole. By that time, you know, it was so lame and so pointless and so ridiculous that I hardly ever paid any attention to it and spent most of my time chasing the Ute stations. Officer of equal or higher rank. That was all pretty fascinating.
much to listen to, or were you really limited by what was available? And even then, on the equipment, I mean, were you limited in what equipment you like take with you to listen to different things? Now, we've heard all sorts of stories that some countries you're not allowed to listen to, you know, frequencies above, let's say, 25 megahertz, because that's where the national police are in some countries.
There was a time, not all that long ago, when even American FM radios were not supposed to be used in England, because the British police used a portion of what is our FM band. And if you brought an FM radio over there, you could listen in on the police calls, which is illegal. Most countries don't permit you to have a scanner. You may remember that when we were going on a cruise last November, because I couldn't take a scanner with, I took my ham radio, which of course can receive the marine frequencies. And there's almost no countries that will permit you to use a scanner. One thing that most people don't realize, when I was a kid, monitoring the police was a lot easier because the police broadcast, at least in Chicago, at just above the AM band. And so you would go and you would just change the potentiometer so that you dropped off the beginning of the AM band, went over the top of the AM band, and any car radio could receive the police calls.
Which is a cover story on storms and Skywarn operations, and encouraging people that if you have an interest in the weather or helping to report severe storm activity in your area, to hook up with the National Weather Service and join the Skywarn program. We have links to the sky to the National Weather Service and their Skywarn page. I have a website up, www.nyc-skywarn.org, which also has links to things like streaming audio of the National Weather Service radios and live weather from the station in Midtown Manhattan, so you can see what, in real time, things like temperature and wind direction and speed and things like that. So Skywarn is a very good program that the National Weather Service has put together over almost, I think it's about 50 years right now, and over 50 years, and it trains the average person to be more observant of what's going on with the weather, because radar can only handle so much, especially close to the ground. So they rely on the average person to be the ground truth for what they think they're seeing in the radar system. Something you may want to think about hooking up with.
Hey, Colin.
Hey, good, Justin.
On that note, there ain't gonna be all day weather class up in a 100 degrees on
really easy. So, Yeah, I wondered if anybody's, tried it and what they thought about it and, stuff like that. So I've been listening to, the only station that I can hear from here is actually the one in Reykjavik, on HF. There's supposed to be a station out on Long Island, and, that does the HF stuff. And, as you would expect, during different times of the day, you change its frequency to deal with the conditions. Then over that, of course, it hits the lower frequencies. That doesn't change mega overnight. But I just can't hear the one out in Long Island. But like it's next door, I can hear the one in Reykjavik. So, I'm very, very confused about that. I wonder if Long Island is throwing all its energy up into the air, and likewise in Reykjavik, and it just happens to be falling down here. Yeah, anybody got any ideas? That'd be most welcome. NI20.
Hey Mark, what kind of data can you see on these ACARS transmissions?
Sometimes not a lot, and sometimes quite a lot. I see the usual thing, hello, I'm a plane, I'm going from this airport to this airport, and currently this is where I am. And I'm this kind of a plane, and this is my registration, stuff like that. And I see an awful lot of engine statistics. The oil pressure is this, and the RPMs are that, and the airspeed is this, and I see a lot of that going across. And every now and again I might see a request for something, like, they'll put in a meal request, particularly on these really long-haul flights, these multi-center long-haul flights. For example, it might go from San Francisco to JFK to somewhere in Africa down to, Australia. And, when they're arriving in our airspace, they'll put their order in for their meal refill and things like that. I see a lot of that going on. They need X amount of first, X amount of coach, X amount of whatever meals. And five kosher. That's quite funny when you see that go by. stuff like that. Sometimes you might see a request for a crew member. I'm guessing that they've had to ditch one of the crew because of sickness or something, or they left light. They're looking to see if they can't pick up a crew member along the way. You see that quite a bit as well. So it's quite a lot of stuff. A lot of proprietary encrypted stuff too, which you just. You see the encryption rubbish, but you don't know what it means. NI20.
Yeah, more of an operational shorthand, I'll bet. Yeah, I just, you talk about the meal request for planes. Hopefully it's more than the chicken or beef choices that you have, especially on a couple of flights I recently took. The version of beef was actually some type of pasta and meat sauce and meatball, but...
So, they don't tell you what it is, they just request the meal. So, I guess the plane itself doesn't have control over that. It just, the company buys X amount of meals, in inverted commas, and whatever the menu is that day is the third-party company is providing is what they get, because the airline doesn't take itself too, of course, do they? Which is why I'm interested in the kosher meal. Every now and again I see it go by, and they'll want, like, five kosher meals, six kosher meals. And somebody a while back told me that I should always order the kosher meal, because it's usually much better than the mass-produced rubbish. So I giggle when I see that go by. I wonder just how many of those guys are eating it because they are kosher, and how many are eating it because it's a better meal than the chicken or beef solution. Anyway, that's the kind of thing I can see. But on HF, on the other hand, it's predominantly about where I am on the planet, and what my expected arrival time is, and, stuff like that. And it also seems to be automatic. In other words, I see a squitter from the ground, followed by a response from the plane. So it's like they're actually continually chatting with the plane as it goes. Okay, where are you now? Where are you now? Where are you now? Where are you now? Kind of thing. And from what I can see, and I'm sure if I went looking for it, I'd find it. What I can see, that's on a time slot basis. It appears to be 13 time slots. And depending on which of the ground stations you are, depends on the way radar works, I guess. But the only thing I've seen on that is engine statistics and position statistics. I haven't seen any things like, flight requests or anything like that. I guess by the time you're going transatlantic, if you haven't got it, you don't need it.
Yeah, and they won't be able to get it to you either until you get to the other side.
Yeah, the tool I'm using for it is a PCHFDL. And it's a tool, it lasts about 30 minutes before it expires on it. It's $35 to register. Unfortunately, the guy that does it is still taking registrations, but that's it, he's not supporting it anymore, he's done with it. So they're still taking money off you and send you a magic number for it, but that's it. And he doesn't even have it on his website anymore. So you have to, if you want it, you have to go looking for it, and you'll find it. It's in a lot of places, but it's not on his website anymore. So some guy by the name of Breen in England did it, but there's a message on his website saying that it's literally just there for the sake of people paying him money for. So and the software itself does actually does quite a bit. The clever thing about it is that it offers up the deposit to other applications, so Google Earth, your APRS program, sorry, your ACARS program, to deposit on the net on there. Its strong point seems to be its decoding of the thing, the message, and then offering that as a DBU message around the system. So you could kind of pile these packages together under one larger package. If you had like a mapping application, for example, you could dump them all on there and stuff. But it also does regular ACARS as well, but it doesn't decode it in inverted commas. It just produces the packet. Whereas with the HFDL, it decodes as much as it can. Stuff. But as I say, I'm confused as to why I can't hear the one at Riverhead out on Long Island. I can't hear it. It just doesn't appear to be there. But what I see on the splitters is there's information transmitted about what other ground stations are available and what frequencies they're on. So I'm guessing that they're doing handoffs from one station to the next station. For example, there's one in Reykjavik, there's one in Ireland, there's one in New York, there's one down in the Caribbean, there's one down in Ascension, there's one a bit further down in South Africa, there's one in San Francisco, there's one in Hawaii, and just enough to kind of cover large areas, and it tells you what transmitters are on what time slot as it does it. So obviously they're ready to hand people off from one network to the other. But more than that, I don't know.
Okay. Well, thanks for bringing that information, Mark. I'm sure it gives a different aspect of things. Last week, I wasn't here. Did you cover what happened at the Wilderness Field Fest?
No. Sorry, I didn't make the net last week. No, I didn't. Eddie was there. I saw him. So if he joined the net, maybe he did, but I didn't. I can tell you what happened on the Saturday.
Yeah, okay, because I couldn't make that either.
Anyway, too old. So what happened? Well, the fest of you fellas is a predominantly shortwave in nature, but the scanner scum get in there as well, as a group of people interested in scanner listening. And, actually, they did quite well. They held a forum, and they called it Stump Scum. And the thing that was good about it was that it wasn't... In previous years, they said, okay, we're going to tell you all about trunking systems, or we're going to tell you all about... They didn't do that this year. This year, they did. They devoted their entire session to Q&A. And that was really good, because, of course... it was pretty much open season. Whatever you wanted to ask them was available. And as such, it was really a very very interesting session, because, of course, it covered lots of topics and it covered lots of things, answered lots of questions. And, they they really did cover a lot of ground. Put me right in a couple of bits. I'm still struggling with this concrete thing, and may have managed to answer a few questions that I had. I'm a bit more in the know about concrete. Concrete's very new to me, so. But, you know, point is that they had this kind of open season thing, and that was very useful. We had a talk from the guy from the UK who came over to talk about pirate radio, and predominantly on the medium wave, but also a little bit on the what's called the Echo Charlie band, 16 megahertz. And you know, he showed pictures of transmitters and people who were involved with it, and you know, some of the sites they used and things like that. So that was quite important. And the other cool thing. do you remember at QST they have that Nastiest Shack competition, or used to have it anywhere, where people would send in pictures of the mess that they live in their shack? Similar kind of thing. But, of course, you knew everybody, because it was everybody that was there invited to send in pictures. So that was quite fun as well. And let me take a break, then I'll show up. The big thing this year was Wi-Fi radios. Lots of them were given away in the raffle. I didn't win one, unfortunately, but lots of them were. And the other thing that was given away in the raffle were SBR radios. A buddy of mine won the Perseus SBR radio. It's like a DC to 500 megs kind of deal. And he won one of those. I don't know if anybody's familiar with Kim Andrew Elliott from Voice of America, but he goes there a lot. He bought the Italian SDR. I can't think of the name of it, but it's a tiny little thing. I mean, really, it's about the size of a QSL card. Tiny little box. And we had that on the go, and that worked very well as well. So, it was mainly Wi-Fi radio and SDR radios, and of course a Drake R8D if you won it. But it suddenly struck me this year that you win by buying the prize. In other words, you buy enough tickets to have paid for whatever it was that you won, and people were dumping down hundreds of dollars on raffle tickets. So hopefully they they got what they thought they were paying for. Hi. Anyway, to love.
They were doing anything they could to increase the chances of winning it, though. Oh well. It's like buying lottery tickets, I guess. The way some people spend money on lottery tickets, you swear they almost paid for the prize by the time they get through with it. But anyway, alright, sounds like it was a lot of fun, Mark. Do you know if they're going to be posting the pictures anywhere? I mean, pictures.
Yeah, look at the Fest website, swlfest.com or org, I can never remember which, the org. Anyway, yeah, some pictures will be there. There's a hoo-ha already. For the first time, somebody took video and then posted it to YouTube, and everybody's upset about that. They seem to think that it's a private affair, and that anything they have to say is not publicly available. Well, I don't know. I would argue that the second you sit down and have a public forum, then anything you have to say becomes public knowledge and public debates, and in turn you become a public property. But I have to say there's a lot of issue about that. But yeah, if you go to YouTube and search for SWL Fest, you'll find some videos and things. One of which is the entire video of one of the talks, and I think it's actually the one about the shortwave pirates. So, give that a whirl if you're up to it, assuming it's still up there. There's a bunch of requests to have it taken down, but I'm not sure that YouTube will bother with that. N-I-2-0.
It sounds more like those that are involved with the pirate activity are getting a little nervous that their face and voice are maybe posted up there or something. Oh well, I'll take a beat for it. Okay. Thanks, Mark. Alright, 9:39 PM. We'll stand by for any waits or additional check-ins before we wrap it up. This is N-1, I'll be with the shortwave and scanner listeners then.
ACC, CDC, Peter in Brooklyn, late check-in. No traffic at this time.
And when am I
good, good Charlie. I had traffic, good Charlie. And my name is Ed Bob. Okay, thank you very much, Charlie. Good evening to you and everybody else on the net here tonight. Another new fire buff frequency has emerged, and it's the Metro Fire group out of New York there, and they have another repeater that bombs in over here in Connecticut. I would say equivalent to SOD, you know, full scale here. Connecticut. Frequency is 478.2375. 478.2375. And DPL465. DPL465. And it's a nice professional fire buff group out there. Metro Fire. And it's they have another frequency. I have it in my radar. I don't know it offhand. 452 something or other, I believe. But this is their newest one. And it's basically for Westchester County, I guess, and in my area, Long Island, Connecticut, whatever. But it really, really comes in strong. I don't know where it's located, the transmitter, but it really bombs in here. And one other thing, Charlie, I'm going to drop. Yeah, I got kind of a question for W2LIE, but he's not on tonight. But one of the buff groups out of Long Island, 478.900. Don't hear it. Haven't heard it for about a week. And I don't know what happened. If he might know what happened, maybe I'll wait till next week and ask him again. But haven't heard it for about a week, and it's another frequency that that gives me full scale over here. So not a signal problem. It's maybe they change frequencies or change PLs or something. But I'll ask him next week unless somebody else might know in the net here. But 478.900. I haven't heard it for a while. Back to you, there, Charlie. N1MLZ.
W2LI.
Go ahead. Turn on the radio, you hear Bob calling me. I think you're looking for LIBNS?
Yeah, roger that. I haven't heard it for a little while.
I have a rumor. I have not been able to verify it, and I'm not going until I have the information. But my P25 scanner is at Repair Store Radio Shack. They called me up and said, oh, it never got shipped, and it's been 3 weeks in the same location. So until I get my radio back, I'm not going to say, but rumor has it they've moved to their alternate, and if you have a discriminator, just check out the alternate frequency.
Okay, so very good, yeah. I could put that in. I never put that other frequency in there, but I'll put it in. Thanks a lot for that. I think there's somebody else in there also.
Nope, get that. All right, Charlie, this is my check-in and back to net.
Okay, so, was there somebody else in there? Okay, guess not. IQL, if you're still listening, I went to that page link that you would give me last week, and every so often I'm getting checks I'm not verified. I don't know if it's a data problem on your side for those reports that you're receiving. Anyway, all right, anybody else before we wrap it up? This is Ben 12.
Yeah, answer that, and I swear. That's error that you're getting, Charlie. Like I say, anybody can do it. If you go to my website, g7ltt.com, click on the ACARS link, it'll blow up a Java thing on you, and you'll be getting the live stream from my house. That thing you've seen, Charlie, the checksum, what's my packet radio? The packet's bad every now and again, but I've elected to decode every packet, because often what I find is there's enough in the packet to be getting on with it. So, just like packet radio, when you get a collision or you get a, whatever, it's a single collision domain, that's going to happen every now and again, or I'm going to hear half a packet and not a whole packet, or the back end of one, not the front end of it, the usual kind of rubbish. That's what that is. It's not like I got a problem in inverted commas, it's just I get a bad napkin every now and again.
Okay, wasn't sure. Alright, here enough and enough, we'll wrap it up for tonight. And we'll catch everybody here next Wednesday. Next week, when we get back together, it will be daylight saving time shift for Europe. So we see some major changes in shortwave broadcast time frequency. So what we're going to do next week is we're going to talk about some of the different shortwave broadcasters and what their schedules are, and we find information on that. So that'll be next Wednesday. So with that, we'll say 73, and we'll catch you next week. Enjoy the rest of the time that you have, as long as your friends, families, and job allow you to listen to the radio. Take care. That's one, I'll be clear.